I'm excited about today. I'm starting a new series of messages. And what's hard about starting a new series of messages for me is sometimes you have a series that didn't go as well. But I really enjoyed last series I had. I really enjoyed the message. I don't know how well I presented them to you, but I enjoyed them. And this morning we're going to start a new series. What's God's will? Have you ever wrestled with what is it God wants you to do? Have you ever thought, should I go to college or should I go right to work? Should I buy this car or that car? Should I live in this neighborhood or that neighborhood? What should I major in when I go to college? Who should I date? Should I date this person or should I date that person? You ever wrestle with those decisions about how and those choices that you have to make and where you're going to live and what you're going to do? Should I go to church this Sunday? Should I go to this home group? Should I do this kind of a ministry? What should I do? You ever wrestle with that? Probably many of you out there looking at me say, well, you already settled that. I've settled the big question for me. What's my career and where am I going to go? But, there's all those little things, everyday questions. And I'm wrestling with, what should we do for our next 40-day study? And, you get one of those little eight balls. You ever see that little black eight ball? Remember that little black eight ball? You shake it, you turn it over, and that thing floats around inside and tells you what to do, right? And kind of figure that out, Or do you do it like a game show? Maybe the Wheel of Fortune. You got that big old wheel. You put all your choices on it, and you spin it around, and hopefully it comes up the way you want. Because sometimes you ever have your decision made what you want, but you're saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? But you already got it in your idea. You already got it all figured out. Do you sit down and kind of write the pros and the cons? I'm trying to figure God's will out. Here's all the good things, and here's all the negative things. So which way should I go? You ever make deals with God? Okay, God, if these lights, next three lights are green, I know it's your will. And if one of them's red, I know that's not your will, God. And you ever do things like that, trying to figure God's will out, trying to say, okay, God, what do I do, and how do I do it, and where do I go? And I think we all wrestle with God's will. I don't think there would be a time in my life where I got it all figured out. Okay, it's all made, all the decisions are done. There's always something going on and decisions to be made. And how do you wrestle with it? And what do you do as you wrestle with that? And so we're going to kind of look at that through this series. How can I know it? And how can I know for sure? What's nice for me is I know absolutely I am doing exactly what God wants me to do when it comes to ministering and pastoring and being here in Salida. That is as clear as can be for me. But then there's other choices that I have to wrestle with. Well, how can you know for your life? Should I go to school? Should I get married? Who should I date? Should I marry this guy or that guy? Or what about this girl? And how do you wrestle with all those decisions? I was funny this week. I was visiting with my grandkids. One of my granddaughters spent the night with me. And we were watching some show and we got talking about marriage. And I told her, I'm praying for who she's going to marry. And she kind of looked at me funny. And it's kind of like, what? And it's like, yep, I'm praying for who you're going to marry. I pray right now for who my grandkids are going to marry. I pray for my kids. Now I'm praying for my grandkids. They're sitting here going, Grandpa's crazy. But I do. You need to know, for some of you out here that's been here the years that I've been here, I pray for who you're going to marry. I literally pray for you by name for who you're going to marry. Those are hard to, how do you make those decisions and how do you wrestle with those? So we're going to look at it. And today we're going to start out with this between the lines. And so today's message is really a foundation. All right, we're going to kind of lay a foundation. Because as you look at God's will falls into three categories. Okay, God has three wills. All right, and here's how I want you to picture this as we look at God's will this morning. And there's three of them. And I want you to think about it in this terms. It's like a highway. It's like Highway 99. All right? God's will is like Highway 99. His providential, we're going to look at the first one called providential will. That's the whole highway. That's the highway. That's the asphalt going down. And God's providential will is what's going to happen. You can't change it. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. God has a providential will. There's a plan. When God created this world, there was a plan. It is the providential will of God. And He has that plan. Could care less what you think about it. Doesn't matter. It's going to happen. God sent Jesus Christ when it was time, and I'm going to talk about that. Jesus will come again. I don't care what some preacher says over in the Bay Area. Jesus comes again when God says it's time. God sets the time. It's His providential will of God. But there's also the moral will of God. So here's what I want to make sure you have a picture. The providential will of God is Highway 99, that big old road that runs all the way down to Disneyland or down to Southern California. All right? You know, it's that road that changes to Highway 5 as you get to the Grapevine. That's the providential will of God. Kind of get a picture. Then you got the moral will of God. And as you look at the highway, have you ever seen that little white line that runs down the edge of the highway that says, you go over that line, you're going to be in trouble? You know, it's kind of like, I call it the fog line. Because when it's foggy, I want to see that line. I want to kind of make sure I stay over that. Well, that's kind of the moral will of God. And what that is those are the biblical principles. That's the scriptures. It's the teachings of God. And it's a really important line because if you cross that line, sooner or later, you're going to crash and burn. And so we're going to talk about the moral will of God. All right? But here's the key, and then they got the personal will of God, that God has a plan for your life. You know, I could put all sorts of scriptures for each of these, and we're going to look at a couple of them, but the personal will of God is what we're really going to try to get to in the sermon series, but we can't get there unless we talk about these others. Because I want to make sure you know, God has a will for your life personally. You are not here by accident. Matter of fact, you're not here on this earth by accident, and you're not here this morning here in this seat where you're sitting right now, by accident. God knew you would be here, and He has a plan for your life. He tells Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. He has a plan. Before you were even conceived, God knew you and has a plan for your life. We want to get to there. But in order to get to there, you got to understand these first two. All right? You cannot get to the personal will of God if you don't understand the providential will of God and the moral will of God. And so we're going to set the foundation. Because see, the personal will of God is the different highway lanes. You know, the 55, the 65, the 75 lane. You know, and those are the personal lanes that God has for your life. But to get there, you got to understand these others. I put this little quote here. The more we get to know the providential will of God and the more will of God, the better we'll discern the personal will of God. All right? I think what happens in our lives, this is just my observation, we want to jump right to the personal will of God. We want to skip over the providential will of God. The big picture, what God has set down for all eternity. We want to jump over that. We want to jump over the moral will of God. The teachings and the scriptures and how God would like us to live and why God would like us to live in certain ways. You know, why shouldn't we live together before we get married? Why shouldn't I have premarital sex? Why shouldn't I? And we want to just blow over those questions and jump right to that personal will of God. You know, well, here's what I want to do with my life. I want to go to this college, and we want to jump past all that others to get to there. But what I want to share with you this morning is, in order to get to that personal will, you first got to get on the freeway. And you first got to get over that white line. And you got to stay over there, and then you can start discerning which lane to be in. Does that make sense? In order to get to that personal will, you got to kind of move into it. It doesn't just come. And I think people just try to jump over all of that, and they wonder what's going on. Why can't I figure out what God wants me to do? Well, are you living like He says? No. Duh. Yeah. Well, if you're not going to do what I'm saying, how can you learn this other? How can you discern this other? If you don't know God's will is that all people come to the knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, does that make a difference how I live my life? Yeah. And we need to see those things. So I want to kind of go through those, and you got your outline. We're going to look this morning right now. I'm going to start with this, the providential will of God. This is the absolute. It's going to happen. This will never change. The providential will of God is an absolute. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's based on. You might want to write this word down because it's a really good word. It's called foreknowledge. People want to get into predestination. And how God is predestined. And I believe God is predestined, but it's based on God's foreknowledge. How much knowledge does God have? We say God is omniscient, which means He knows everything. That means He knows the future. God knows exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. You know, God knows at 10:01 Gary's going to, at 11:30 Gary's going to be at Perko's. God knows that. He already knows. That's the providential will of God. God sets the time. Look at the scripture. It's a rather long passage. But look at what it's saying and pay attention. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from the slave, though he is owner of everything. I want to make sure you get a picture. Here's what he's trying to say. When you're a child, it's going to be your inheritance. But until you grow up, you don't own it yet. It's not yours yet. You're still a child. You're just like the slave. It's not yours yet. Somebody's still your guardian over it, but he is under a guardian and managers until the date be set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elementary things of the world. He's saying, just like a child is a slave or is an heir, we are an heir to Jesus Christ. We don't know everything yet. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God set the time. When the time came, who set the time? God did. It was God's will for Jesus to be born when he was born. God knew it from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's called a proto-evangelium. Don't you like that big word? Yeah. That's the key passage that says Jesus is going to come someday. 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, 4,000 years later, here comes Jesus. God has set the time. I want to give you the Greek word. I want you to see the Greek word up here. Set beforehand, appointed or determined beforehand, prearranged. There is a providential will of God. It's all prearranged. It is set forth by God. You can't change it. I don't care what you do. I don't care how hard you work at it. You cannot change the providential will of God. There are things that God has set in place. There's a time. Jesus Christ is coming back again. There will be a day. I don't know when. The Bible doesn't tell us an exact date, and people try to guess it all the time. It is the providential will of God. Only God knows. Matter of fact, that's what the scripture tells us. Only God knows. But God sets the time. There are providential things in your life that God has set in your life. You can't change that. I can't change my personality. Now, I can change the color of my hair, but it's still going to turn back to the same. Matter of fact, it's changing on its own right now. It's becoming grayer. And I think some of you are to blame for that, but I'll leave that alone. Yeah. And, you know, but there's a providential will of God. And we need to see that God sets the time, that God is in control, that God sits on the throne, and there's a providential will. And so I want to make sure you see that's kind of Highway 99, man. You get on Highway 99 and you can travel all the way down to Southern California, Disneyland, and you can keep going into San Diego. It turns into Highway 5, and you know where you're going to go. It's providence. It's set out. It's not going to change. You might want to get off of it, but it's not going to be 99 when you get off of it. There is a providential will of God. But there's also, and I want to make sure you get this, there's a moral will of God. There are teachings in the scriptures that God has given us. Is the moral teaching of God. Things that God would have us to do, a lifestyle that God would have us to live. And if you're going to understand the personal will of God, you got to get that providential. And then you got to live within those moral. That's that white line. I'm going to ask you, if you're driving in the fog and it's foggy outside and you get over that white line and you kind of drift over that white line, you get on the shoulder of the road, they would call it. You get over into the dirt of the road over there, and what's going to happen sooner or later? What are you going to do if you cross over that white line and you get over there on the shoulder of the road? You're going to run into a sign. You're going to run into a post. You're going to crash and burn. And that's what God has set up. His moral will is really a protection boundary. You know, here's the side of the road. Don't go over there, because if you go over there, this is what surprises me. When I look at people and they're trying to discern God's will, and it's like, I can't figure it out. God won't tell me. Well, are you living with somebody? Yeah. Are you living by God's teachings? No. Well, then how can he tell you when you're not even in the road yet which way to go? How can he guide you and direct if you don't stay within those boundaries? Look what the scripture says here on the moral will of God. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. And he goes on. I'd encourage you to read the rest of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He goes on with a whole list of ways you should behave and the way we should choose and to choose to live our lives. And what he's trying to say is that there's some boundaries that we need to live in. There's some, you know, that we should not live outside this will of God. You know, here's the definition of sanctified. Purification, the state of purity without impurity or pollution. See, God wants us to be pure. God wants us to live a certain way. And if we can't live that way, what good does it do to try to find the will of God? If I'm making poor choices and choosing poor choices, what good does it say, well, here's what you should do? See, we need to understand that God has a will, and you got to get the moral part first, because it's a struggle for us. Because you know what? I have human desires. Anybody have human desires? I got a selfishness. Anybody else got a selfishness? Yeah. I got a sinful nature. Anybody else got a sinful nature? You guys don't have sinful natures? Oh, man, you guys are blessed. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. Maybe nobody's told you, but I'll tell you. I got bad news. We're all sinners, all right? Get in the boat. You might as well be in it. We're all because we fight this fight. We all have these desires. There's these human desires. Look what the scripture says. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil desire, human desires, but rather the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery. I like that word, debauchery. That just sounds so good. You live in debauchery. Lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. He's saying, come on now, this is the choices we make, and this is how we live our life. But here's something I want to say. I remember years ago when I first came to the church, I was visiting with somebody who was getting off drugs. And she told me this. She goes, you know what? One of the bad things we don't say is this. Drugs make you feel good. She goes, you tell people, drugs are bad, and drugs aren't good for you. But she goes, you know, when you first take drugs, it makes you feel good. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Sin sometimes is fun. Would anybody agree? Sin sometimes is fun. Sin, you know, hey, it's fun. It's enjoyable. Living in sin can be fun. You know, but sooner or later, but there's going to be a situation, there's going to be a time when it's not fun anymore. Anybody, let me ask you this. You ever have to sneeze? You know, you got to sneeze. You, and it just won't come, but you got to sneeze. It's just, and it feels so good to sneeze. You sneeze, and it would feel so good. But it feels so good, but what comes out? All that green snot. All right? All of a sudden, it's like, all right, I sneeze. Hopefully, you got a Kleenex or a handkerchief, right? Yeah. And it feels so good to sneeze, but now all of a sudden, you got a mess. That's what sin does. It feels so fun, and it can feel so good, and it might even last for some time. But sooner or later, you're going to crash and burn. You know, like I said, you go down 99, and you can run over that white line, and you can kind of cruise on the wrong side of that white line. But if you stay over there long enough, there's going to be a post in the road that says there's an exit you better get off on. Well, that's what it is with sin, and that's what we need to understand. There's this moral will of God, and it's there for us. These boundaries kind of direct us and guide us to that personal will. Are you getting the picture? And I want to kind of, you know, I want to give you this. Let me say this as I go through, and I'm going to dwell on sin this morning, because if you want to know the will of God, you got to answer this question about sin in your life. You got to deal with that. You will never discern the personal will of your life that God has for you until you deal with the problem of sin in our life. That selfish desires, that human nature, those sinful things in our life. We will never deal and discern what God wants us to do and what God's personal will for your life is until you deal with that moral nature in your life. And I want to make sure there's two kinds of sins that you need to understand as we talk about sin. There's two types of sin. And we're going to look at them. And I want to give you a scripture to kind of set the tone. And Paul wrestles with this, just in case you think, well, you're a preacher, you don't have problems. And Paul didn't have problems. I want you to look at this next scripture and look at what he's saying as he wrestled with this and the two types of sin. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Isn't that fun to read that passage? Yeah. Paul is sitting there saying, I want to do what's right, but there's this nature in me that wants me to do what's wrong. And no matter how hard I try to do what's right, I still do what's wrong. And he's wrestling with this. And we have this. And this sinful nature battles within us. And it's always there. And I got news for you. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how long you travel and spend in God's Word. You're going to battle this all your life. But it boils down to two types of sin. And the first sin, I'm going to call it this. It's the sin of commission. These are things we do. All right? The sins that I do. The behaviors that I do. Look at what the Scripture says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul's sitting there saying, listen, I like this passage because it's funny. Here's the thought these people had. Now, I hope you don't think like this, but here's what they were thinking. God enjoys giving grace. Isn't God a gracious God? Would everybody agree? God's a gracious God, and God loves giving grace, and He wants to bestow grace, and God loves to give grace. Well, you get grace when you sin. So what I need to do is, I want to make God happy, so I'll sin more, so God gets to give me more grace. Because God loves to give grace, right? That's what they were saying. You need to know, that was their logic. And that's what Paul's writing. What should we say? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He's saying, no. No. We need to stop sinning. Does that make sense? Can I say it anymore? Stop it. Does that help? Just don't do it anymore. Stop sinning. And it's a challenge. And I want to challenge you this morning to stop. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. I gave you a question there. Look at that question. It's going to be on the screen too. What am I doing outside the moral will of God? Now, I'm not letting you off the hook. I want you to put something down there. All right? What am I doing outside the moral will of God? Now, if you don't think you have any, maybe your spiritual journey has brought you to a point where you don't think you have one, I'll tell you what to put there. I'll give you a word. It's called pride, okay? Just put pride down. If you don't think you have one, just write pride, because that's the sin of pride, all right? We all have these, all right? I mean, I'll give you some hints, all right? I'll give you some hints. I put some of these down here. How about lustful thoughts? Anybody? Anybody want to need to write that one down? How about gripped by materialistic world? Anybody got gripped by this materialistic world? Or how about a disrespect of your wife? Some guys, you just kind of disrespectful of your wife. Or how about the wife and using submitting in the right way, biblically submitting to one another? How about a rebellious attitude? Rebellious to your parents, rebellious to God. School starting pretty soon, you can be rebellious to your teachers. How about pride? How about greed? How about a bitter spirit? How about an unforgiving heart? What can you put there? I put these down. These aren't all mine. I hope you don't think these are all mine. Some of them are mine, all right? I'll admit to that one. But I just wrote these down. But I'm sure some of you, it's like, have you ever wondered, well, which one is it? I don't know. Maybe you're sitting there saying, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to figure out. Sometimes, well, let me paint a picture for you here. I went to the movies this week. I went and seen Pirates 4. Went to the Manteca Theater, $3 a person. I'm El Cheapo, and I went and seen Pirates 4. And I walked into the theater. You were outside. It's bright, sunny. And I walk into this dark theater room. And it's like, okay, which way do I go? all of a sudden I can't see. It's pitch black. It's dark. Now, is it this way? Is it? I couldn't tell which way to go. Because what? I had to wait till my eyes adjusted. When I walk out of that theater, you walk out into that sunlight, and you go like, anybody, am I right? See, the problem is this. We've been in this world so long, sometimes it's hard to see our sinful nature. It's like walking into a dark theater. We get so caught up in the world, and we get so busy in the world. We get so busy with the things that we have to do, places to go, people to see, that we get blinded, and we don't really see that sinful nature. Is that true? I mean, it's dark. When God says sin is darkness, He's right. We're blind to it, and we don't see it, and we can't see it. So I want to encourage you. Take these notes home. Maybe you couldn't put it in. Maybe you're not quite sure. But I want you to think about, what is it that I'm doing outside the moral will of God? What is it that I'm not quite where that white line is? I'm just kind of trying to walk on that edge. That if I stay out there long enough, I stay over that white line long enough, I'm going to crash. See, I guarantee you this. I'll give you a guarantee. You can take it to the bank, do whatever you want with it. If you live outside the moral will of God long enough, you will crash and burn. No ifs, and buts about it. It may be fun now, you may enjoy it now, but there will be a time when everything comes down on you and you crash and burn. Guaranteed. Sooner or later. And you need to see that in your lives. So we need to pay attention. There is the sin of commission. Those sins that I do. Those things that I do. But I want to make sure you know there's also another type of sin. And it's the sin of omission. You got the sin of commission, and you got the sin of omission. And this is things that you should do that you don't. These are things, and I'm sure you might have experienced this, that, I felt God calling me. I felt God wanted me to go over there and help this person, or God wanted me to give this person something, and I didn't do it. That is the sin of omission. Look how the Scripture says it. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin. There's a sin of omission when we should do something and we don't. Now I want to make sure you understand something. I want you to write this word down, uncomfortable. Big word, uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't do it because we are uncomfortable. Does God call us just to do the things we're comfortable with? Does God call you just to do the things you like? Does God call you just to do the things that are fun? See, there's a sin of omission, and sometimes we're going to get out of our comfort zones, and sometimes we're going to be doing things that we're really not willing to do. And we need to see that, and we need to, I put some things, I need to see and I need to feel. We want to see it and we want to feel it. But sometimes we just don't feel like it. I can remember a time when I was pastoring in Willits. And it's like I'm sitting in the office. It's about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I wanted to knock on some doors that day. I had committed myself to knocking on some doors that day. And I was sitting in the office, and it's like, man, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. But it's like, man, I get up and unwillingly go out and start knocking on doors. And there's a trailer park across the street from the church. And I hadn't been in the church very long, so I'm knocking on doors and knock on one of the doors about 4 or 5 doors down, and some guy answers the door and very abruptly and very plainly says, I don't want anything to do with church. Don't want anything to do with it. Just kind of, but then he says, wait a minute. Closes his door, steps outside and says, can you pray for me? Oh, okay. I don't understand a lot of things, but you know what? I needed to go out that day, not to hear what he said, but to pray with a man who needed prayer. I wasn't willing. It wasn't what I wanted to do that evening, that afternoon. But it's what God wanted me to do. Now, there are times when God asked me to do things I've said no. I'm not going to talk about those because I can't remember and I don't want to remember them because it's called sin. It's like I feel this, I need to go over here. And well, I want to ask you. Look at that. It says right here again. What are you not doing that God wants you to do? What are you not doing that God wants you to do? I'll give you a few hints again. I wrote some things down. How about forgive? Is there somebody you need to forgive that you won't? Are you holding on to some unforgiveness? How about give? Is there something you need to give? Is there something you need to give away, something you need to let go of that God has asked you to give? Is God calling you to get involved in a ministry? Asking you to be involved in a home group or get involved and lead a home group? And you're just not doing it. How about attending church? You're here today, but what about next week? How about reading your Bible? How about reading your Bible? What is God calling you to do that you're not? Maybe you have certain gifts and certain talents and certain skills that you're not using for God. Maybe there's something, maybe you need to start a business out in the world. I'm not just talking about church, but what about out there? Is there a business? Is there a neighbor you need to minister to? Is there a coworker that has a need? Is there something that God is asking you to do that you're just not doing? That you're not working at, that you're not making an effort, that you're not striving for? See, I want to challenge you. There are sins of omission. We always worry about the sins of commission, but there's a sin of omission. What are you doing that God has asked you to do that you're not doing? That you're just not doing it. I want to challenge you to be a part of what God is doing, to join Him and to see Him. See, that's the moral will of God. You will never get to the personal will of God until you deal with the providential will of God and the moral will of God. You can want it, you can desire it, you can grab that old eight ball, spin it around and say, okay, God, what do you want? You can pray for lights to turn green. You can say, these are open doors, I'm going to go through the open doors until something stops me. You can have all these great grandiose ideas. But unless you're going to get on the road of the providence of God, and you're going to listen to the moral will of God, you will never understand the personal will God has for you. It's that simple. And it's a battle. But sin gets in the way. Sin pulls us down. Sin holds us back. See, because it can be fun. It can be fun to be in the world. I was reading the news and just this morning, and I guess some fair, I think it was Wisconsin or some, not, it wasn't Wisconsin, maybe, I forget, somewhere back there in the northeast of our country, they had the fair. A group of 20 or 30 kids walk out of the fair, and they walk down the street, and they start breaking windows, beating people up as they walk down the street, tearing up cars. And they think they're having fun. People think it's fun to live in the world, and it's fun. But sooner or later, it crashes down. And it will destroy your life. And that's not God's personal will. We need to deal with that. And we deal with that with the grace of God. See, it's God's grace. I put a verse up here that to me summarizes the whole message. And this is, to me, this is a providential will of God. This verse says it all. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, that's that whole picture. Get out in the providence of God through Jesus Christ and His grace. Make the moral decisions, and then you find the workmanship of God to do His will. To me, this says it all. But we need that grace of God. You know, as I listed some of those sins, and you notice, I couldn't just put one. I wish I could just put one when it says, what am I doing? I wish I could just put one. Yeah. Most of you know, no, I'm not out there partying and doing all sorts, but you know, pride is one that I have to wrestle with. And you know, we need to set the, how do I deal with that? Is God's grace big enough? Is God's grace sufficient? You know, I've had people tell me, and I've seen people in the past tell me that, you know, I've done so much. I've done so much wrong. I've done so many bad things. My life, there's just no way God can forgive me. I've had people tell me that. But I want to assure you, God's grace is big enough. God's grace is large enough. Forgive us of anything and everything we've ever done. There's nothing God's grace can't forgive. I was thinking of an illustration for this, that, you know, we have all this sin and it's like there's just so much out there and it's just kind of crushing in on us. There was a computer game when I was growing up. Somebody, my wife or people were making fun of it, saying it was Pong. You need to know, I remember when Pong came out. Yes, I'm that old. I remember when Pong came out. But it's a game called Asteroids. Anybody remember playing Asteroids? Come on now. Some of you guys, anybody play Asteroids? You got that little triangle that spun around in the middle, blowing these asteroids up. You know, and you blow a few up, and pretty soon more come, and more come, and more, and pretty soon you can't do anything. But they had that little button. You know, that there was that secret mass button that you would push, and everything blew up. It just blow everything away. Do most computer games have that nowadays? You know, that little button, you got these little secret codes that you can put in that get you out of these situations. You can just push this button, and everything disappears, and you're okay. Well, you know what? That's what the grace of God does. It's that grace in our life that makes everything okay. That takes all that sin and blows it all away. That brings total forgiveness into our lives. See, if I'm going to find that will of God, I got to have the grace of God. I've got to let God's grace guide and direct me and lead me. And so I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to start our journey into the personal will of God. Today's setting the boundaries, that providential will of God, that moral will of God, and you've got to decide to get on the road. And I want to ask you this morning, are you going to get on the road? That road of moral life, a road that I say it this way for me, you know, it's pleasing, it's satisfying to me and pleasing to God. It is. I'll share with you, and I share this all the time, there are no regrets in my life about what my choice is. Now, I've made some bad choices that I don't want to make again, but God's grace has washed those away. I'm having a good life. I'm having a great life. I am enjoying my... I'm 56 years old, and I'm having fun. I had a great summer, enjoyed the summer, drove back and seen my son, made it really rough on Laura. I spent 4, 5, 6 hours at Vicksburg. Anybody know what Vicksburg is? It's where they had the Civil War battle, okay? I drove around that place for 6 hours. Laura got car sick. I mean, I can go on with all the fun things I've had a chance to do. God has just blessed my grandkids, my kids. It's just a blessing. God is so good. He's always there, and His grace is sufficient. Now, it doesn't mean I don't make mistakes and I don't have difficult times, because I do. And if I don't have them, I usually create them. But you know what? God is gracious. I invite you to the providential road of God today, to walk that road without moral boundaries, so that when the personal will of God is shown to you, it's just you get in the lane and you go and you enjoy the ride. I'm going to tell you, I had a great time driving to Georgia. 13 hours on the road can be fun, but you know, it's been driving 13 hours and you're driving through Texas and all of a sudden you're looking over here, and I'm going to tell you, we don't have lightning in California. You need to know that. We don't have thunderstorms here. This is nothing. But we're driving through the plains of Texas, and man, that lightning's coming in. It's pretty. Yeah. Here's this, After 13 hours of driving, I had some entertainment. Yeah. It's a joy. Life has its tough times and its good times. But God is always there. I'm going to ask you, will you join me on the journey? I put it at the bottom of the page real simple. I will know the will of God for my life when I learn the providential will of God and live His moral will. I'm going to invite you to get on the road today. Is there some things in your life that's stopping you? I offer you God's grace. I offer you the mercy and the grace of God to get on the road to the personal will of God. Let's pray.